We serve him because he's first loved us. We give back to him not to gain favor, but because we already have favor. There's a big difference.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Joshua Halleck, your host at Straight Talk Radio. I am at the Straight Talk studio at New Life Community Church in Chicago with our senior pastor, Pastor Mark Jobe. This is an exciting message titled, Step Up to a Fresh Calling. We believe here that God's Word teaches that followers of Jesus have an incredible purpose, destiny, and calling. And yet, so many of us, through the years, from different circumstances and beliefs, have relegated our impact to the side. Pastor Mark, why is this message so important for people today?
It's huge, Joshua, because I believe that people that discover their God's purpose for their life and use their gifts, they find the greatest fulfillment. If you are here to, if you're listening to my voice, I want to guarantee you, you have a spiritual gift. And not only do you have a spiritual gift, but you have a calling where you should be using that gift. If you're not, you're going to feel like something is missing about what you're doing. You're going to feel like you're not hitting on all six cylinders, to use car language. So there are some people here that are listening to my voice that you have an inner deep sense that you have a purpose and a call, but you're frustrated because you're not living in that way. So this message is for you. I believe that you have a gift that we're going to talk about, how to kind of step into it, discover it, how to start using the gifts that God has called you to do, and how not to magnify your gift or minimize your gift, but actually begin to embrace your gift.
That's powerful. So friends, as you're listening, you may think this is for somebody else. You say, yeah, this guy or that guy or this lady, not me. No, you. The scriptures are clear that you were designed and created with God's heart. And so as we open up the Bible today in Romans chapter 12, let the Spirit of God speak to you, and whatever step he's calling you to take, we pray that you'd have the courage to take that step and get into a fresh calling. Romans chapter 12.
I recently read that the shuttle Columbia made a discovery as a scientist took a new look at the Earth from a different perspective. They studied the topography of the land, and they made an amazing discovery. They discovered that in the Sahara Desert is part of northern Africa, right below Spain. And if you look at a map, what you'll see is just desert after desert after desert, just miles and miles of arid sand land. Nothing grows there. It's very dry. The people that live there are rugged and nomadic, and they are in desperate need of water. As the scientists studied the Earth from the Columbia Explorer, what they discovered through some of their new instruments of exploration, that there were 26 lakes underneath the Sahara Desert. It's heartbreaking to think that there are people that are starving and famished when what they need is right beneath them. 26 lakes that could provide water, but they have not yet learned how to tap into the resources that are right beneath them. That's a great picture, I think, of many of our lives. Many of our lives are lived in practical dryness, scarcity, barely surviving, not realizing that beneath, somewhere very close, there is an abundance of resources, that we have much more than what we know we have. Many people spend a good portion of their lives talking about what they don't have. Just listen into a conversation at a bus stop or an office water cooler conversation, and you'll hear a lot of talk about, I wish I had, I don't have enough, it would be nice to have what they have. One day maybe I will. A lot of conversation seems to revolve around what we lack. The emphasis of Scripture is not on what we don't have, But the emphasis that God gives is on what we do have. God will never hold you responsible for what you've never had. God will only hold you responsible for what you have and what you do with what you have. Here's what I know. I know that the great majority of us here have enough intelligence to get ahead. I know that most of us here have enough love to be able to share with our spouse and with our children. I know that most of us don't utilize the majority of our brain, that we underutilize our gifts, that we underestimate our body, that we underutilize our faith, that we do not develop our vision, that we don't use to the max our money and our finances. I know that the great majority of us here live well beneath our potential. And so today, as we look at Romans chapter 12, I'm going to talk to you about stepping up to understand what you have and to move from being a consumer that simply looks and says, I have need, to being a contributor to say, I have something to give. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, was writing this letter to Rome, the believers that found themselves in the most powerful capital of the day, which was the city of Rome that was at the epicenter of the Roman Empire. He was writing to a church that was composed of people from all walks of life who had not discovered how much potential they had. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to ask that you simply stand for the reading of God's word. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. The word of the Lord, you may be seated. You have in your bulletins some notes, some fill-in-the-blank notes that will help you follow along for those of you that are a little bit slower note takers. And it may help you to take these notes and review them when you get home. So today I want to talk to you about four steps to move you from consumer to significant contributor and understand the potential that every one of us has. The first thing I want you to know, as you sit there, and I sit in so many times in my life, I've just sat there underutilizing my potential. The first thing I want you to know from this passage is this. We start out using our full potential for God by offering your whole person as an act of worship to God. Notice what it says in verse 1. He says, therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, you need to ask yourself, what is it there for? Therefore means I'm building on a previous thought. Therefore means I've talked to you about something, and now building on what I've talked to you about, I'm going into the next thought. This is chapter 12. The Apostle Paul has 12 chapters he's building on. What has he been talking about in the last 12 chapters? He's been talking about how good God is. He's been talking about how people have been changed and justified and given gifts. So he's, therefore, I urge you, because all I've told you about God, I'm urging you now, brothers, in view of God's mercy. What Paul is telling them is this: God has been so good to you. Because God has been so good, Because God has done so much, because God has given us so many opportunities, therefore, we need to look at serving Him back. We need to look at giving back to God because He has been so good to us. What has God done? What are His mercies? Well, if you look at the previous 12 chapters in Romans, he talks about justification. In other words, how all of us have sinned, and he made the way through Jesus to justify us before God. He talks about adoption in Jesus, that when we were slaves and on our own road, Jesus came and we've been adopted in God as sons and daughters of God. He talks about His grace instead of the law. We are no longer under the law that brings condemnation, but we're under grace, the favor of God. He talks about the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. You have been given God Himself to dwell inside of you as an incredible gift. He talks about how He helps us in the middle of our trials and afflictions. He talks about how God has chosen us before we chose Him. He talks about the certainty that Christ is coming back again. And he talks about in Romans chapter 8, the confidence that nothing or no one can separate us from this incredible love of God. So he's been talking to the believers about how much God has done. And he says, therefore, because God has done so much, because God has shown so much mercy, I challenge you to give back to God because He's given so much to us. I want you to notice, He does not say, I want you to give to God so that God will be good to you. He says God has already been good to you. And because God has been good to you, we are using our gifts to serve Him, not to earn credit before God, but because God has already given us credit. Do you understand the difference? Many people spend their entire lives trying to gain God's favor, feeling like if they do good works, walk a little old lady across the street, give to charity, once in a while listen to Christian music on the radio, throw a couple quarters into the Salvation Army can, serve for some volunteer and some non-for-profit organization. They think, well, maybe if I do enough, God will look at me and have mercy. What Paul is saying is, no, God, out of His own generosity, out of His own goodness, out of His own heart, out of His own love, He's already shown us mercy.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk Radio message called Step Up to a Fresh Calling, which is from our series called Step Up, Living Higher. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of James with his message called Step Up to a Fresh Calling.
We didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, we didn't merit it, we didn't gain favor. He has already shown us mercy. And so our service and gratitude and servitude and offering to Him is not to gain favor with God, it's because we have favor with God. We serve Him because He's first loved us. We give back to Him not to gain favor, but because we already have favor. There's a big difference. So he says, in view of God's mercy, I challenge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This idea of offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, the Jewish people understood what a sacrifice was because in the Old Testament, and even during the times of Jesus, when people approached God in the Jewish temple, they would have to offer an animal sacrifice. They would kill a lamb or slaughter a dove, and they would offer it on a sacrifice and burn it before God. And it was their way of interceding for their sins. It was their way of making a live offering for their sins. In those cases, there would be a rock altar The blood would be splattered on the altar, and the animal would be killed, of course. Paul is using a different imagery. He's using the imagery of an altar, but he's saying, I don't want a dead sacrifice. I want a living sacrifice. I want you to visually place yourself on that altar and say to God, I'm not offering a pigeon or a lamb because we don't do that anymore. That was Old Testament. We're in New Testament. But now we are offering ourselves before God and we're saying, God, I belong to you. And I'm going to live my life as though I'm consecrated to you, as though I'm a living sacrifice unto you. And who I am and what I am, I belong to you, God, now. Paul says, offer your bodies. In other words, your whole person, that's fill in the blank, offer your whole person as a living sacrifice unto God. Notice what he says. A living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Some people think that they go to a Sunday service to worship. Maybe you've used that expression, I'm going to a worship service. Sometimes even in church bulletins, they'll say worship starts at 11. But really, if you understand worship, worship is not an activity you engage in. It's a lifestyle that you engage in. Worship is about how you live your life. Do you realize that it's not just coming into a service and having the songs going and raising your hands to God and saying how good you are, God? But do you realize that worship is any act of service you do to God? Anything that you dedicate to God is an act of worship? Do you know that you could be washing dishes as an act of worship? You're washing dishes and say, Lord, I do this unto you. That's an act of worship. You're offering whatever you're doing to God. Do you know that you can drive your car as an act of worship? I need to work on that one still. But you can drive your car and say, Lord, I'm driving. I'm going to praise you. I'm just doing this. Do you know that your job, whatever you do for a living, that as you offer the way you do your job, if you do it with integrity, if you do it with the right attitude, if you do it with the right heart, that you are worshiping God through your job? That pretty much anything in life that you do, when you offer up to God and you do it for His honor and His glory, you are engaging in an act of worship. Worship, the word worship, is from an Anglo-Saxon word. We get our English word worship from an Anglo-Saxon word that means worth-ship. That you are giving someone worth and value. When I give God worth and value in what I do, I am giving Him my worship. So therefore, you don't engage in worship on a half hour while you're singing on Sunday morning. Hopefully, what Paul is saying is I want you to see your whole life as an act of worship. When you get up in the morning, good morning, Lord. Let's do this day together. When you're making lunch for your sixth grader that's on his way, Lord, I pray for my son and I do this unto you. Whatever you do as an act of worship unto God. You offer it to God, so therefore there's no dichotomy between the secular or the sacred. Some people make a big difference between the secular and the sacred. They think that praying is sacred, but hammering the nail at their work is secular. What God tells us and shows us is that praying is sacred, but if you hammer a nail and you're hammering and you're doing your job with an attitude of trying to please God and doing everything you do for the glory of God, that hammering that nail can be as sacred as praying a prayer because you're doing it for the glory of God. Are you tracking with me? This is really important. Some people they think that certain things are holy and certain things are not holy. And I want to say that whatever you do in Jesus' name with an attitude towards God to please Him and offer it to God, you do it, it becomes holy. So your entire life becomes a living sacrifice of worship to God that doesn't just kick in when you enter into a building with a cross and a steeple on top, but that you are constantly engaging in worship, not just when you're singing, but whatever you're doing is an act of worship to God because you've chosen to offer it to God and to show that you're doing whatever you're doing for God. Number two, I'm talking to you about how to move from being a consumer to a significant contributor. You offer your whole person as an act of worship to God. It starts there. Whatever talents you have, whatever gifts you have, whatever you're engaged in, you say, God, I'm doing this for you, and I want my heart to be in the right place. Number two, you'll notice that in verse 2, it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The second step in utilizing your potential is you need to renew your mind so that you can understand your new purpose and your calling in life. Many people don't understand that they have a purpose and a calling. They just live life. Some of us just live life randomly. We just live life. Whatever's in front of us, we do. What are you about? I don't know. I'm going to live. But I don't have a clear direction. I don't have a purpose. I don't have an aim. I don't have a goal. I don't have a destiny that I understand in my mind. And I believe if you live your life that way, you're living your life not to your full potential, because I believe everybody has a call, a destiny, gifting in their life, and you need to start discovering your purpose and what God has for you. Paul says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Many of us don't understand our calling because we're pressured into the mold of the world around us. We don't discover our calling because the world is pressuring us to live a certain way and to act a certain way. And we've bought into their mold and we're peer pressured into what everybody else is doing without understanding that we have a unique call. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That word conform is the word to fashion. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed in the Greek is the word comes from the word metamorphosis. How many of you have heard the word metamorphosis before? It's only used two times in the New Testament. One here and another time by Paul in Corinthians. To be metamorphosized is the process in which something is converted into something else. For example, if you've ever walked down a sidewalk and seen this ugly-looking, gray, blackish, hairy caterpillar. If you're a woman, you go, ah, and walk around it. If you're a sixth-grade boy, you look at it and say, ooh, gross, and then you step on it like that. So different people have different reactions to it, right? It's a caterpillar. Nasty, ugly, hairy. Even when it moves, there's not much grace to it. But if you studied caterpillars, you'll understand that there's something that happens with a caterpillar. Often caterpillars reach a certain season in their life in which they build a cocoon. They weave this elaborate cocoon around their bodies, and they stay within that cocoon for a period of time. As they are in that cocoon, there is a metamorphosis happening to this ugly, hairy caterpillar. And when finally their cocooning stage is over, they start breaking out of that cocoon. And when they break out of that cocoon, many caterpillars turn into butterflies. Then the little girls are saying, oh, it's so pretty. When they're a caterpillar, they're going, ah. When they're a butterfly, they're saying, come here, butterfly. It's the same thing. It's just metamorphosized. Now, young girls have flowery patterns with butterflies on them, and they want jewelry with butterflies on it. I don't think I've ever seen a t-shirt with a big, ugly caterpillar on it, a young girl wearing it. Or earrings with caterpillars on. I don't think I've ever seen that. But I have seen butterflies. Why? Because a metamorphosis has happened. That's changed it from one thing to another.
This has been the first half of our message called Step Up to a Fresh Calling, which is from our series called Step Up, Living Higher. Please tune in again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page, where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.